Oh God, please would you open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. Please give us grace to receive it, to understand it and to obey it. For the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. On his voyage to New Zealand in 1769, Captain Cook and his crew noticed that the natives were wearing tattoos. And Joseph Banks, the naturalist on board HMS Endeavour, wrote these words: "I shall now mention the way they mark themselves indelibly. Each of them is so marked by their humour or disposition." And so the natives of New Zealand were marked indelibly, permanently, forever and uniquely, with tattoos that said something about the person that they were. I don't know for sure, but I guess that may well be true for those who wear tattoos today. People wear the tattoo that it says something about them. So I wonder if you were to have a tattoo, what would you have tattooed on your person that would say something about you? It might be, as I know of one vicar said, that he'd have his favourite Bible text tattooed onto him. But perhaps it might be 1 Peter 2 verse 9 as your favourite verse. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." At St. Stephen's Symphony we have a particular text each year, a motto for us, and this was our text for 2018. And it's a text that we want to be to help us to become God's people throughout the year, indelibly tattooed into our hearts and minds. And the words of the Collect for Bible Sunday come to mind on this: "Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of eternal life, which you've given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ." And so may 1 Peter 2 verse 9 be tattooed in our hearts and minds tonight. Let us hear it, read it, mark it, learn it, and above all, inwardly digest it, so that we might hold on to that hope of eternal life that's been given to us by God our Father through our Saviour Jesus Christ. And that was Peter's hope and prayer as he writes these words in this letter that are God-breathed. He's writing to some Christians who are struggling to follow the Lord Jesus because of the opposition that they're facing. Later that opposition would grow and become persecution, where Christians would be hunted down and killed. But here in 1 Peter, the followers of Jesus are struggling to live that life that they're called to live. And they're struggling because they live in a society where Christianity and Christ are not welcome. So how can Peter encourage them? I wonder if that's not like our world of today. Is not our world of today a world where Christ and faith in him is not particularly welcome? And so as believers we find ourselves living as strangers in a foreign land. Then how might Peter's words from this first letter encourage us? That's what 1 Peter is all about being strangers in the world and showing us how we might live different to that world. That's what you're thinking through in this series of 1 Peter. And in chapter 2 verse 3 it says, "Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." So firstly then, accept the invitation. Come to the living stone. I still remember conducting a marriage of a couple who were both in their 40s when I was a curate about 25 years ago. Neither had been married before. They met through the local rambling club. And at the wedding rehearsal, the groom was stood at the front of church waiting for the bride to practice her walk down the aisle. The bride turned to me and asked, "Can the groom turn round and look at the bride as I walk down the aisle?" Before I could answer, the groom replied from the front of church in a broad Lancashire accent, "Why, I know what I'm getting." Peter's readers know what they're getting. 1 Peter 2 verse 3. "Now that you've tasted, the Lord is good." Well, that's true for each one of us. that we've tasted the Lord our God and we know that he is good, even when the world around us is not so good. And Peter says, come to the Lord. You know what you're getting. In fact, you're getting much more than you know. It will be so much better than you ever thought. Peter's invitation is for all people who've tasted the Lord and found him to be good. An invitation to come and enter into full membership of God's people. There's a Christian Basics course called Start. It features its author, Robin Gamble. And throughout the course, there are a number of short video clips set in Blackpool. And in the final clip, Robin invites people to make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The clip's filmed with Robin on the beach at Blackpool with grey clouds above and the sea looking very chilly. He explains that to follow Jesus means you've got to commit everything. You've got to go in deep. So he proceeds to strip off his clothes down to his shorts and t-shirts. He wades into the cold sea saying, if you have to do it, you have to do it properly. You can't just paddle in the edge, you have to go in deep. And he dives into the cold grey sea for a swim. So with the invitation to come to Christ the living stone, not that you've got to dive into a cold sea, but this isn't just an invitation, well, come along to church. Come and be on one of the many rotas that we've got. Join a nice club. No, this is an invitation to be totally committed to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living stone, who himself has been rejected by the world that disapproves of him. The world had put Jesus on trial, condemned him as a criminal, and had him executed. But this Jesus is not dead, he's alive. In contrast to the world, this Jesus is the living stone, who is now with God, for he is God. He's also with God's precious elect. He's with God's chosen people, who as they come to Christ, the living stone, and acknowledge him as their Lord, they too become living stones themselves, built into God's holy temple, verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here's where we need to hear, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's word. Jesus is the living stone. And those who believe in Jesus themselves become living stones, like the living stone. Those who acknowledge Christ become like him. We're not joined to Christ by coming into church. No, we come into church by being joined to Christ, the living stone. And in doing so, we become like him. Over Christmas, we often reminded of Jesus' other name, Emmanuel, God with us, that opening chapter of John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, those who accept this invitation to become living stones, they become God's chosen holy sanctuary, the spiritual temple. They become where God dwells among his people. If you're a believer, then do you not know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Why does he dwell in you? To make you like Jesus. To help you become living stones, to serve as holy priests, offering sacrifices to God. No longer offering the sacrifice of animals, but now offering the spiritual sacrifice of your whole life. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Be sure that the sacrifice of our lives which we offer to God is accepted in Christ. Christ is the cornerstone who sits on the throne, exalted as Lord. Amazingly then, for those who believe, they share all things with Christ by faith. Those who are joined to Christ, the living stone, are themselves living stones, built into a spiritual temple, sharing in his honour and glory. I mean, there's no way you and I would ever be able to share in the reign of Queen Elizabeth II, or any other monarch, is there? But in Christ we share God's reign. What an invitation. Imagine if the Queen asked you to share in her reign, would you do that? Wouldn't you be amazed at the prospect of enjoying all the amazing privileges? sharing in the power and authority, majesty and splendor. And that's what God's amazing invitation is to those who believe and trust in him. Come to the living stone. Become like living stones yourselves. But sadly, there were those who did not accept that amazing invitation. Peter says there are those who do not believe, they disobey. And they don't accept the invitation. And for them, the living stone of Jesus, rather than giving them life, becomes a stumbling block to them. Christ is like a stone which they've rejected and thrown away, and then they trip over it in their disbelief and disobedience. But once Christ is revealed, he stands in the way of disbelievers, like a stumbling block against them. And that's how serious it is to reject the invitation. So here's the invitation. Accept the invitation. Come to Christ, the living stone. Enjoy serving him and with him. That you become like him. And become living stones, the very dwelling place of God. Come and accept the invitation. The alternative is to disobey and turn it down. Those who do will stumble and fall. Will you come to the living stone and become like him? The invitation to come to Christ, the living stone. Have you tasted and seen that God is good? Then continue to come to the living stone. Don't turn away from him. And those who do, secondly, well, enter your new status as chosen holy people of God. In total, there are 1,148 of these people. 70% of them are people who have undertaken outstanding work in their communities, either in a voluntary or paid capacity. They represent 47% of the total. 12% are from a black Asian minority ethnic background. 4% of them consider themselves to have a disability. Who are these people? Well, they're the people who were included in the Queen's New Year's Honours List this year. And all of these people have one thing in common. They have a new status. A knighthood, an OBE, CBE, MBE, whatever. They've been chosen and set aside for a new status. Even more so, is that true for those who are chosen by God to be his people? But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. But you who believe, you are chosen by God. You're different from those who reject the living stone. You have a special status. It's a promise that's in the Old Testament, Exodus 19 verse 6. Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own people. The whole earth is mine, but you will be my chosen people, a people dedicated to me alone, and you will serve me as priests. God's call and promise to Moses, given to Abraham, out of all the nations of the world, God chose Abraham to father a new nation, who will be chosen by God, a new people wholly set aside with a new status, fulfilled in Christ. The Christian community is a people who are chosen to be the king's house, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And the chosen people of God together are to be the royal residence for the royal palace where the king lives. Just as Buckingham Palace is the royal residence of the monarch of our nation, this is where they live, it's their home. So God's residence is no longer symbolized by a stone building, the temple. No, God is king who lives in his spiritual temple, in Christ, in his gathered people. So let us read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this amazing truth. God is here among us as we meet together. The Lord is here. By his Spirit he dwells in our lives, in the lives of those who trust him. For those who say, you can be a Christian without going to church. It's not what the scriptures say, it's not what God says. Though the writer to the Hebrews writes, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see the day of the Lord is coming nearer. In our new status of being God's chosen people, God dwells among us. Yes, he's in each one of us individually as we go our separate ways, but God's dwelling place is his temple, his gathered people together. So if we are the palace, our lives are where the king lives. We share with Christ in his kingship. We share his sovereign rule. We are joined to the king, one with him. That is our new status. What an amazing truth. We are chosen, made holy, to be set aside and different. Those who are on the Queen's honours list have been chosen and been given a new status. They're different, but they don't share the Queen's rule. But for those who believe and trust in Jesus, who accept God's invitation, we have a new status. Where we not only serve the King, we rule with the King. It's a new status that's totally secure in Christ. It cannot be taken from us. It's indelible, permanent, everlasting, just like that tattoo. It's also a new status with responsibility, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Israel had been chosen by God to be a distinct nation, a holy nation, separate, in the old translations, a peculiar people, different from all the others. They were God's possession. They were chosen to proclaim to the other nations the virtues of their God by their word and deeds. Their lives were to show God's character, to show something who God is and what he's like. To show the God who brings his chosen people out of darkness into his wonderful light. To show the God who chooses a people who once were not a people. To show the God who gives mercy to a people who did not have mercy. Fulfilling the prophecy of Hosea. Hosea in the Old Testament spoke out against the covenant people of God through his family. His daughter was called Lo-Ruhamah, which translates as not pitied, not shown mercy. It was a sign of God's displeasure with his people. But then later on, Lo-Ruhamah is renamed Ruhamah. Mercy is shown. God has shown mercy on his people. The name of Hosea's son was Lo-Ami, translated as not my people. Again, it was a sign of the Lord's displeasure against the people for following false gods. Lo-Ami is later renamed Ami, my people. God will choose a new people with a new status who proclaim his praise. Because at one time we did not have mercy, but now we have God's mercy. At one time we were not God's people, now we are God's people. And so we're to proclaim the wonderful works of our God. So we come to the living stone and make known the praise of our God, telling of his salvation. For finally we hear the appeal and we're to live the changed life. If we accept the invitation to come to Jesus, the living stone, and become living stones, being built into a glorious temple, if we enter the new status where once we were not his people, now we are. Once we didn't have his mercy, now we do. If we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. If that's true, then surely our lives can never be the same again. It was interesting to hear this week that consideration is now being given to the possibility of taking away the knighthood that was given to Sir Philip Green for his behaviour as boss of British Home Stores. It's thought that his behaviour did not fit what was expected of his new status, having been given a knighthood. Now, we are chosen by God today to belong to his special people now and forever. And so Peter writes, "Dear friends, I urge you," verse 11, "I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." The original translation of urge is the word translated exhort, strongly advise, appeal. Those chosen by God, Peter strongly urges them, strongly appeals to them, exhorts them, advises them to live as strangers in a foreign land. In 1986, we moved from our home county of Yorkshire to the foreign lands of Lancashire. Apologies if any Lancastrians are here. But they speak differently. They have strange customs. They eat different food. They have black peas. They're broody. They don't mash it. In 1997, I made my first trip to Ukraine. That too was a shock. I lasted the 10 days out there, just about. Everything was just so different. The language, the buildings and the food. If you think the food's bad enough in Lancashire, well, try eating beef stew with mashed potatoes for your breakfast. Feeling I had was, I don't belong here. And that's what Peter's saying here, that as we live as Christians, we're to live in a world where we don't belong. We're a chosen people who know we belong somewhere else. Life of the Christian here in this world is like living as foreigners, as strangers in another country. We live in a different place from where we belong. Those who are chosen by God, who acknowledge Christ, submit to him as Lord, live in a place where that is not the norm. And as we live in a world that doesn't recognise Jesus, Peter warns of the danger that we may seek to be like the other people around us. And in doing so, we can so easily give in to those sinful desires. In the book of Samuel, the prophet was horrified when the people asked for a king. We want a king to be like the other nations. The whole point of Israel being chosen by God was that they were separate and different, that they might be attractive to the other nations, who would then acknowledge the God of Israel. Similarly, Paul wrote to the Romans, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Peter says to believers, don't give in to the world. Don't give in to earthly, worldly passions and desires. Are we tempted to give in to the world around us? Are we in danger of following the ways of the world, in the way that we think and behave? And are we not in danger of tripping over the living stone? In our thinking and behaviour, do we ever ask, what does the world do and think? Or do we ask, what does Jesus want me to do? It can be so easy to fall into the ways of the world and to follow earthly desires. So Peter says, I urge you, I appeal to you, live as strangers in this land. You belong in another kingdom. You're chosen to be holy, set aside, separate and different. You're to live such lives even among unbelievers. That even though they will accuse you of many things, being old-fashioned, bigoted, brainwashed, even worse, being evildoers, even so, live such good lives that they will see your good deeds and glorify your God. Echoing Jesus' words of Matthew 5:16, and let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Wouldn't it be so good if people who accuse us of doing wrong saw that our following Jesus is so good, and then decide, I want to be like that. That happened to me as a 17-year-old churchgoer. I attended some gatherings of what became Barnsley Youth for Christ. A group of young Christians from many different churches around Barnsley met together. I've been going to church every Sunday. Now meeting these young Christians, I realised they had something I didn't. They loved reading the Bible. They knew it. They understood it. They delighted in it. They enjoyed praying together out loud and saw prayers being answered. They also knew how to have fun together, watching match of the day, eating fish and chips and enjoying parties without having to get drunk. At first, in my mind, I would argue against it and make fun of it. Yet I was also drawn to it. God, in his mercy, was inviting me, choosing me to come and join his holy people. Not just to go to church, but to believe and trust and become a living stone like his Son, Jesus Christ. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Now you see, praising God on the day he visits may actually be too late. No, live as a stranger for the time on earth, living such good lives, because when Jesus comes again, then your accusers will see, this is of God. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day he returns, they will indeed bow down and acknowledge him as Lord. And so you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We accept the invitation and acknowledge the Lord Jesus. Enter the new status and live changed lives, holy and separate people, different and distinctive from those around who are of the world, and proclaim the praise of God, not least by doing good deeds, even to those who accuse you of doing evil. And then the heathen and the pagans, our accusers, will be silenced, and they will acknowledge God our Father and bow before his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us tattoo this message on our hearts and our minds. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Accept the invitation to become living stones, joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, the living stone. Enter a new status, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And hear the appeal to live a changed life, that even your accusers will acknowledge God and give him the praise and honour and glory. Have you heard the invitation? Will you accept it? Have you heard the appeal? Live a changed life for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please open our ears and our hearts and minds that we would hear your word and your invitation. Give us hearts to accept your invitation and acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Please may we accept the new status you offer, that we may know we are your chosen people, chosen to be holy and separate, and that we may offer our lives in sacrifice to you. So may we live such changed lives that even those who accuse us wouldn't acknowledge you as Lord. So please help us to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen.